Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Everybody, great to be with you once again on a big day. Big day on the show today. Lot of stuff to get to. Lot of stuff to talk about on the radio broadcast today. Mark Cuban is very, very mad. We're going to talk about why, because it's not for a great reason, like at all. It's just not for a great reason. We're going to get into that coming up a little bit later in the broadcast. We have got the Sweet 16 going on today. We're going to get into that later on in the broadcast. Our Sweet 16 prognostications for the day. That's coming up in just a little while from now. The Carolina Panthers may possibly have spilled the beans just a little bit on who the number one overall pick is going to be. And it may have been a big oopsie by one of their coaches. We're going to talk about who it was, what they said, and what it might mean for the draft coming up in just a tick over a month from now. I got that for you in just a little while. CJ Stroud's pro day was yesterday, but that wasn't the only soon-to-be rookie NFL quarterback that the Panthers had a conversation with yesterday. I'm going to tell you who else they talked to. It's not going to be a big surprise, but I got to pretend that it is, because that's how radio works. That's how I get you interested in sticking around for another segment coming up later on in the radio broadcast. We got to talk a little soccer on the show today. Two different things going down. Number one, coming up at 3 o'clock today, your boy is going to be doing something I have wanted to do for a very long time. I have always been intrigued by the idea of doing a podcast that focuses on a local team, a local professional team. And I hope to get to the point that I'm doing that for all the teams in the market. But batting lead off the Greenville Triumph coming up later on today, I will be sitting down with the head coach of the Greenville Triumph, John Harkes. I'll be sitting down with the president of the Greenville Triumph, Chris Lewis. I'll be sitting down with the CBO of the Greenville Triumph, Doug Irwin. And I will be sitting down with a couple of players, a new addition to the roster and a seasoned vet of the roster. We'll do a little season preview pod, and then we're going to keep that podcast rolling throughout the duration of the season for the team. And we are going to talk a little bit about that, because the Triumph kick off their season on Saturday. And you know, there's not much more I love than talking about the local sports scene when I get the opportunity. So stay tuned for that, because you soccer heads in the community, you soccer heads in the Armada, I'm going to want your input. I'm going to want your thoughts. I'm going to want to know what you want to know from the faces that run the places of the Greenville Triumph. We'll talk later on. And the United States men's national team has put out their projected roster for their upcoming friendlies here in just a couple of weeks. And it's very interesting, not only because of what has happened on the pitch for the Americans since the World Cup ended, but of course what has happened off of it, We're going to get into that later on in the radio broadcast. Luke just asked, is the Greenville Liberty coming back as well? Yes, the Liberty will play. Obviously, their season goes after the Triumph, so we're still a few months away from the kickoff of the Greenville Liberty, but they are still around. Very much enjoyed getting to do play-by-play in color last year for that side, and hopefully we'll be able to run it back again this year, but that is that will be determined when we get a little bit closer to the kickoff of the Liberty season. But yes, Luke, they will be back. We'll talk more about that when we get a little bit closer to their kickoff. But a good day overall. A good day overall. Before I get into any of that, I do have to say one thing very quickly. And it's something that I did not think I would need to spend a bunch of time discussing, a bunch of time talking about. But I do. Ladies and gentlemen, when you come to a stop on the road, and there is a story behind this, very quick one, but I got to get it off my chest. I've come to the realization that the opening segment of this show has two purposes. It is either a setup for what I consider to be the biggest story of the day. For instance, yesterday in this segment, we ran a retrospective on the finale of the World Baseball Classic, which was, by the way, a very, very good one. And we'll talk about that coming up later in the show because the ratings are out from the World Baseball Classic final here in the great United States of America, and they're very interesting. And I want to talk about that coming up later on in the radio broadcast. But the other purpose that the opening segment of the show can very frequently serve as is a venting slash therapy session for yours truly, right? Like it is the only time where I get to talk about things that happen in and around my life, and you have to listen to me. I mean, you don't have to, but you should. So let me get this one out because I have to tell you what happened this morning. So for those of you who don't know, haven't been paying attention, don't listen to the show every day, or shockingly, don't care about what's happening in my life, which is more than fair, by the way, more than fair. About 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago now, almost three, I was driving home from an event that I was at, and I had a truck try to cross three lanes of traffic ahead of me and did not make it. And it totaled my Jeep. So I have been in the market for a new car. But for the time being, I am borrowing a car from the future mother and father-in-law. And when I was driving to work this morning, I was set to go across a relatively busy intersection. And as I got set to cross this relatively busy intersection, there was a red Mini Cooper. There was a red Mini Cooper jump on the stream when you get a second, Timmy, because I think we need your audio to be able to run this. There was a red Mini Cooper coming the other direction. Now, some of you that have been driving for more than 6 to 8 minutes of your life recognize that when you come to an intersection, especially at a relatively busy intersection, there are ordinarily white lines on the ground that border the lanes for the driving of the vehicles, right? You know what I'm talking about? Like there's a red light, and then on the ground before the red light, before that intersection, there's a white stripe on the ground. And that white stripe on the ground is there to guide your vehicle on where it can safely operate. So as I was going through this intersection, coming from the other direction, head on from me, was a red Mini Cooper. And the lady, because I got a very good look at her, because I, ladies and gentlemen, as a passive-aggressive American, give a very good stink eye. An absolute, if looks could kill, caliber stink eye. Okay? So the lady in this Mini Cooper, as she was driving towards me, pulled her vehicle way past the white line into the middle of the intersection in order to turn left, which would have been across the face of my vehicle. And she started to turn left before she saw me. And of course, I had flashbacks from almost three weeks ago when the very large truck pulled in front of my Jeep and there was not a damn thing I could do about it. Slam bam, Rob's got a new car, ma'am. So I started having the flashbacks because I thought that this woman was going to go. Now, fortunately, she did not, for her sake and mine. Because for me, being in my second car accident in 3 weeks would have been, I believe the scientific term is, bad. It would have been very bad. And for her, it would have been awful because she was in a Mini Cooper. And I am driving a large SUV at the moment. So, if this was Vegas, I would have said my car was like a minus 255 favorite on the line to win that particular fight. So she stopped. I gave her the most passive-aggressive stink eye as I could as I pulled through. And she did the thing that will infuriate me more than most anything else on planet Earth. If you are driving and you do something dumb, and we all do it, right? Everybody does dumb stuff when they're driving. If you were driving and you do something dumb, and I give you the passive-aggressive stink eye because you did something dumb, it's a very simple way to defuse the situation, which is to just look and go, I'm sorry, right? You can put a hand up, hey, sorry, I blew it, I know I screwed the pooch, that's on me. And 99% of the time, I'll be like, it's cool, because I've done dumb things too. She did the exact opposite. She looked at me, gave me the old two hands forward, like, what are you doing? I'm driving here. You know what I mean? Like, that's clearly your fault reaction. When she pulled into the middle of the intersection, she cut the wheel left, and she effectively turned like 5% of the way into oncoming traffic. And then had the stones to look at me and give me the two hands up like I was in the wrong for, you know, going at a green light. Like, rule number two of driving, the only more important one is stop at the red one. That was it. There are lines painted on the ground when you drive. This can be instructional for the young listeners out there. I know we've got a large contingent of younger sports fans who listen to this show. This may be instructional information for you. It is also beyond a warning to you seasoned drivers out there that those white lines on the ground, they're not suggestions. It's not something that they put there just to give you some suggestions about where, just a little advice. You might want to stay. No. You have to stay in those lines, man. That's what they're there for. If you want to operate your vehicle, you must operate them within these boundaries so that Rob Brown doesn't smoke your ass when you turn into oncoming traffic like an idiot. And then the balls on this lady to give me the two hand. What are you doing? No. That's on you. That white line back there. This happens to me when I leave work all the time. We're on Garlington Road. I go off of Garlington. I take a left onto Woodruff. Then I turn left. I go over to 385. I jump on it. I head north back towards downtown Greenville. And every single day, I leave out of here between 2:30 and 3 o'clock most days. And every day when I turn left onto Woodruff, there is in the middle of Woodruff a left-hand turn lane that goes the opposite way. So it turns onto Garlington crossing the other way. And every day there is a car who pulls a full car length or more out across the end of the turn lane, but then doesn't get to go because the light turns red. And now every car turning left off of Garlington onto Woodruff has to maneuver in 6 inches of room between the front of the idiot who doesn't understand what the white lines of the ground are for and the right-hand turn lane because there's two turn lanes. The inside turn lane that turns to the inside lane, the outside turn lane that goes to the outside lane. And you have to wiggle in between there. Ladies and gentlemen, I am begging you. I am pleading with you. I am groveling to you. When you come to a red light, until it is your time to safely accelerate your vehicle and get across traffic, stop at the white line. Please. This aggravates me more than the people who go like 20 miles an hour of the speed light weaving in and out of traffic, right? Like, that aggravates me. I can't tell you how many times I've been driving and somebody does that, and like, I instantly wish I could turn into Magneto from the X-Men and like lift their car off the ground and then just propel it sideways into the woods.
Well, wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah. I can't tell you how many times I have turned into the leader of the enemy of the X-Men and just wanted to like levitate a car and whip it into the woods for being a jerk.
But I think even that
aggravates me less than guy or gal who doesn't understand that the white line at a red light is for to tell you where to stop your damn car. All right? I got to get that off my chest. T2, the Timinator, Tim Snow on the board today, filling in for the great one, Lonzo, who will return on Monday. How you doing, buddy?
What's up, everybody?
Welcome in. Good to have you. We, ladies and gentlemen, have a stocked, locked, and loaded show for you on today's radio broadcast. Coming up in the next segment, Mark Cuban is very upset about something that happened in the NBA last night. His Mavericks taking on the Golden State Warriors at a point in the season where playoff seeding is on the line. Every single dub and L right now matter, like a lot. Mark Cuban felt like his Mavs got screwed. There are a lot of people who are beating the hell out of NBA officials today because they agree with that. They think that the Mavs got screwed. Except for they didn't. I am 100% team beat the hell up on bad referees, all right? I am with you more often than I'm not. But in this case, in this scenario, it is Mark Cuban who was wrong. And I'm going to tell you exactly what happened and why it is that it is important that we hold officials' feet to the fire when they do something wrong, but only when they do something wrong. I'll tell you what happened, my reaction to it, Mark Cuban's reaction to it, and more when we come back here in a minute. T2 is on the other side of the metaphorical glass. I am Rob Brown, and you were listening to The Rob Brown Show right here on the Fan Upstate.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Rob Brown Show is back on your radio. This is the Fan Upstate. Ladies and gentlemen, Rob Brown, T2 Tim Snow, the Timinator at the board today. You want to be a part of the program, you are welcomed and encouraged to do just that. Hit us up on the phone lines at 844-326-3663. 844-326-3663. That's the phone number. You can text us at 71307, 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N, FAN, F-A-N, and we will read them live on the air. If they are good enough, bring your A game, please, and thank you. And, of course, you can tweet me at The Rob Brown Show, at The Rob Brown Show on Twitter if you want to go in that direction. Also, feel free to tweet Lonzo at Lonzo on Word and ask him if you got the mullet yet. We'll circle back around to that later as Lonzo may or may not join us for Fight Club later in the day. I'll do it whether he's here or not, ladies and gentlemen. But he may or may not be able to join us on the stream. We will find out when we get a little bit closer. But for now, I wanted to get into a little situation that took place in the National Basketball Association last night. And one that I think is an important conversation to be had, primarily because across the three major leagues of sports in these great United States, the National Football League, the MLB, Major League Baseball, and the National Basketball Association, there is, ladies and gentlemen, an epidemic taking place, and that epidemic is an epidemic of terrible officiating. It's just catastrophically bad in some cases. Guys like Angel Hernandez are continuing to be placed into jobs when they're, you know, very bad at them for no particular reason. Well, last night, the Golden State Warriors were taking on the Dallas Mavericks. The Golden State Warriors would defeat the Dallas Mavericks by a score of 127 to 125. If you're playing the Rob Brown Show Home Edition, grab your pen and paper. Can you tell me, ladies and gentlemen, if the Warriors scored 127 points and the Mavericks scored 125 points, how many points did the Mavericks win by? Pencils down, they won by 2. Now, if you're playing the Rob Brown Show Home Edition, question number 2. In the National Basketball Association, a field goal inside of the 3-point line is worth how many points? Pencils down. The answer is, of course, 2. That is correct. So why is this an important number? It is because of the fact that with a minute 56 left to play in the third quarter, a ball went out of bounds. The Dallas Mavericks public address announcer said over the PA,
"Ball out of bounds, Dallas Mavericks basketball, timeout, Dallas."
Except for the official had pointed that the ball was actually a Golden State Warrior basketball and then immediately turned and pointed to the Mavericks as the Mavericks had called a timeout. So the ref points and signals that it is Warrior basketball, followed by pointing in the direction of the Mavericks, which at this point in the game was going their direction, and said that they had called a timeout, which is true. Mark Cuban was not happy about it at all. He tweeted out, in a tweet, by the way, that goes way over 140 characters. Now, I'm not sure if Twitter's got a new feature that combines tweets or not, but in a tweet that goes, this is all one tweet I'm about to read you. Mark Cuban said, "For those wondering about the play with 154 to go in the third, let me explain what happened. The ref called Mavs ball. The announcer announced it. Then there was a timeout. During the timeout, the official changed the call and never told us. Then when they saw us line up as if it were our ball, he just gave the ball to the Warriors. Never said a word to us. They got an easy basketball. Crazy that it would matter in a two-point game. Worst officiating non-call mistake possibly in the history of the NBA. All they had to do was tell us, and they didn't." Now, what happened after that play was over? Coming out of the timeout, Warrior center Kevon Looney had a free dunk on the inbounds play with a minute 56 showing in the third quarter. The Mavericks, believing they had possession, were lined up on their offensive end of the court, which Cuban attributed to an officiating error. Except for, there wasn't. Okay? There wasn't. Now, I mean, I guess, perhaps, maybe, if you're just looking for a reason, as I do many times, ladies and gentlemen, to absolutely crap on an official, you could argue that the two calls being made simultaneously without a breakup signal between them could have been confusing. For instance, if you looked over and you missed the Warrior ball sign and just saw him pointing at the Mavericks, you could assume that he was pointing that the ball is going that way. Except for, in that case, you would have to recognize, that you have just called a timeout. And that in basketball, and I think this is pretty common knowledge for anybody who's ever watched a game, when you call a timeout in basketball, the official makes two gestures. He will call either a full 60-second timeout with his hands outstretched or a 30-second timeout with his arms outstretched but his biceps flexed pointing to his shoulders, and then he will point at the team that called the timeout. So the official pointed Warriors basketball, then pointed at the Mavericks and called the timeout. Mark Cuban, an owner, by the way, that I do not hate, which is a very small, very elite group of them, is just wrong. Now, Cuban has said that he is going to file a formal protest about this game. And I'm going to tell you that he's going to lose that protest. Interestingly enough, in order to file a formal protest with the National Basketball Association, you must pay a $10,000 application fee, for a lack of a better term to call it. You have to file a $10,000 application fee, and you get that fee back if your protest is successful. There have been, in the modern era of the National Basketball Association, 44 official protests filed with the league. When I checked this morning, the last that I saw, six of them have ever been upheld. The last one to be upheld was, I believe, in 2008, when Shaquille O'Neal was a member of the Miami Heat. Shaquille O'Neal, I am kind of half recalling this off the top of my head, Shaquille O'Neal was removed from a game for acquiring too many fouls in the game with like 51 seconds left to play in the game. except for the officials actually miscounted the number of fouls that Shaq had. He had one more foul to give before he was removed from the floor for acquiring too many penalties. Shaq was removed from the floor. The Heat were able to go back and successfully prove that there were one too many fouls attributed to Shaquille O'Neal. And the Heat and I do not remember who they were playing in that game off the top of my head, effectively had to replay the final 51 seconds of that game with Shaquille O'Neal on the floor. So appeals aren't successful very often. And I'm going to go ahead and tell Mr. Cuban, this one's not going to be, because the official very clearly pointed in the direction of the Warriors for possession and in possession of the Mavs for timeout. Now, during the break in that game, or I guess between the end of that game and the next game on ESPN, they talked about it. Tim, make sure the sound doesn't go on the stream, please. Our apologies to the stream listeners because we can't play you audio so we don't get flagged for copyright violations. But for those of you listening on the old radio, this is the discussion that happened last night on ESPN about this situation.
So Mark Cuban is contesting the result of this game that hasn't happened since 2008 with Shaquille O'Neal, and they won, the Heat did, and they had to replay essentially the final 51 seconds. Zach, help me make sense of all of this.
You see something new every day. Look, break down Mark Cuban's tweet. He says the refs called it Mavs ball. The NBA and the referees are saying we did not actually call it Mavs ball, but called it Warriors ball. And everyone got confused because of how quickly the referee went from Warriors ball pointing the other way to timeout Mavericks. So if he can't say that the refs called it Mavericks ball, I don't know how successful the protest is going to end up being. But clearly there was a massive communication mistake by everybody involved. It's strange. I don't know what the remedy is going to be, if any.
So, to that, I say respectfully, no. There was not a communication error. The referee pointed side out underneath the baseline, Warriors ball, timeout Dallas Mavericks. Now, I guess you could make the argument, if you wished, that when the officials lined up and they saw that there were four Warriors where the ball was coming in bounds and five Mavericks on the other side of the floor, that they could have taken a second to blow the whistle and point to the ball going the direction of the Dubs and given the Mavs an opportunity to line up correctly. But it's not on them to make sure that the Mavs are lined up correctly. I mean, I guess it would have been a nice thing to do. I guess there would have been some common courtesy in that. Sure, no problem. But ultimately and overall, the refs didn't do anything wrong. The Mavs just got caught not paying attention to the basketball game, and they paid the price for it. I am here for referee slander, for officials slander. Listen, refereeing basketball, I truly believe, might be the most difficult game at the professional level to officiate. I have officiated football at a high school level, basketball at a high school level, soccer at a high school level. I was in much better shape at the time, I promise. But I've officiated all of them at a high school level. And even at a high school level, basketball was the toughest. Straight up, hands down, no questions asked. But it doesn't mean that we shouldn't demand the highest possible success rate. And it doesn't mean we should not be irate when there are specifically terrible missed calls. But I think at the same time, we've got to crap on officials only when they make a mistake. I think we've got to double leg take down officials only when they screw the pooch. Because if you take them down over things that are not their fault, you kind of create a little bit of a boy who crawl a called wolf situation when they don't screw up. Because if you call a guy out three or four or five or six times when they don't screw up because you don't like how the call went, or in this case, because you weren't paying attention to what they officiated, than when they do get it clearly and blatantly wrong, as they do sometimes. You kind of lose any weight behind calling them out at that point, right? It kind of goes away. So with all of that being said, I like Mark Cuban as an owner. As an owner, I like him. I think he's passionate about his team. I think he cares about his team more than a lot of owners do. He cares about, let me rephrase that. A lot of owners care about the profit from the team, not the team. I genuinely think Mark Cuban cares about the team and its success. We've heard a lot of stories about Mark Cuban going the extra mile for his players that other owners wouldn't dream of doing, frankly. So I think it is relatively important that we make that distinction. But it doesn't mean he's infallible. He's wrong here. The ball was very clearly signaled a Warriors ball. He has now gone after these officials. If you go look at his tweet on Twitter, there are 1,901 quotes, 2,404 retweets, and like a lot of responses. And here's a few of them. Nick Angstat, who goes by at Nick Van Exit on Twitter. Nick Vangstat is the host of the Locked On Mavs podcast. He said, quote, couldn't believe it when I saw it. Danny Morang replied to Mark Cuban. Danny Morang is a host on 1080 The Fan, which I believe is a Houston radio station. He said, go ahead and add this to the pile of things that need to be addressed with officiating over just the last week. Setting the Pace podcast. That is a podcast that is all about Pacers basketball, got in on the action and said, this is flat out terrible. Every NBA team would be irate if this happened to them, especially with how tight the standings are. Guys, I again, like Mark Cuban. I think Mark Cuban does a lot because he truly cares about the success of his basketball team. But he's just wrong, all right? The signal was given that it was a Warrior basketball. The signal was then given that the Mavs has successfully called a timeout. Let's take a break. We'll come back after this. I am Rob Brown. My man T2 on the board. It's the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Thursday. You know what that means. Time to talk a little Carolina Panther football with the host of the Panther Nation podcast, who you can find on Twitter at Panther Nation PC. But more importantly, make sure that you go find the Panther Nation podcast on YouTube. Subscribe to it. Hit that bell notification. Do all the millennial button stuff to make sure that you are up to date with everything you know you need to know Carolina Panther football. My guy Rashad Beard is in the house. What's up, big fella?
What's up, man? It's an exciting week. Our future quarterback is throwing this week. One of them guys will be a Carolina Panther at some point. So it's been fun watching these guys throw, and so I'm excited. I'm excited. It's a good time.
Let's start with the easy one. Who you got? Who's the guy?
CJ Stroud, man, for me. I think, you know, with his ability, his ball placement specialist, is that what he's calling himself? I think he's big enough to play the game at a high level. I love Bryce Young. I think if he was a couple inches taller, I think he would be the consistent number one. I just, his size, it's not just about his height. It's about his stature. For me, it's just, I get Tua vibes, and every time he gets hit, I'm going to be nervous. I don't want to put myself through that every week. So give me CJ Stroud. I think, as you can see the way the guys were lushing over him yesterday, and I just think that's it. We'll see if the Panthers brass have the same energy with Bryce Young. They took him out to dinner. We'll see if there's the same energy there today.
And that was interesting. They went to Columbus, Ohio for the Buckeye Pro Day yesterday and took 14 members from the owner down to the scouting team, the GM, the quarterback coach, the head coach, the OC, the offensive assistant head coach. I mean, they dang brought everybody in the Rashad, the only people they didn't bring, I think, were probably you and me at this point.
Yeah.
They brought everybody. Yeah, I didn't get the text. I'm a little mad. I got a text into Frank asking why I didn't get the call. But they also, and this got out later in the day, did go down to Tuscaloosa and have dinner with Bryce Young, whose pro day is today for the University of Alabama. Now, I do not know if the same big contingent is going to Tuscaloosa or not. You may have more information on that, but I know Reich was there. I know Tepper and Nicole were both there, and I know that McCown was there as well. And I'm intrigued by CJ calling himself a ball placement expert, because the one thing that had people up until the Panthers got the number one seed, and we'll talk about the Vegas odds in a minute, but the one reason people had Young going ahead of Stroud was that scouts believe that Bryce Young's just a little bit more accurate with the football, gets dinged for the size, as you mentioned. But I love that Stroud is just fighting that narrative head on, and from what I understand, was showing off a little bit of precision passing at his pro day yesterday, specifically with the mid-range to deep ball.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed in his pro day yesterday because I think he went 44 or 51, no pads, nobody, no defenders, and there were a couple of misses. So for someone that calls himself a ball placement, and it's pro day, I'm not going to overvalue the pro day. We always go back to the film. The film is king, and I believe he has enough film on enough film to prove that he's the number one guy. And I'm not shifting from that. I still think he should be picked number one overall. But from a pro day standpoint, there were a couple of throws, and I think the biggest knock on him is, can he handle the pressure and can he throw on the run? And so when you saw that yesterday, there were some spots where he was moving around and the balls were not accurate. And so those concerns are being, all right, they're kind of true. And what's interesting, though, if you watch all of his throws, he was going to the left. All the misses were to the left, which is very interesting. I don't know. I'm not going to look too far into it. I'm not going to kill him for the pro day. I just thought it was mid for somebody that says he's a ball placement specialist.
I am going to get into it and speculate because it's the damn off season, Rashad, and that's what we do. Here's why what you just said is very interesting to me. And the reason that I think the Panthers go Stroud, I agree with you. I think Stroud's the right pick, but the reason I think there's just a little bit of doubt in the back of my mind that they might go Bryce Young is what you just said. We have talked about CJ Stroud's a better runner. He's got more height. He's got more weight when he's on the run. So he's a little more Lamar Jackson than Bryce is. But when Lamar rolls out and is a threat to still throw the football, you still got to be wary of that. If CJ Stroud can't prove that he can roll out of the pocket and deliver the football when he is not surrounded by the most elite group of skill players in the game like he was at Ohio State, then the legs don't do much for me, because as soon as I can get some pressure on him from the interior or off the edge and get him outside of the pocket, I can tell linebackers, smell blood in the water, go get this guy, because as long as we got a DB around a wide receiver, we're going to be fine, and that concerns me a little bit.
Yeah, I think that what you just said, I think that could be the thing that elevates Bryce Young over CJ Stroud, because Bryce is elite, like on the pocket, out of the pocket, unstructured, no structure. He's creating on his own. Bryce Young is elite. Like, he is that guy. Now, the only thing that concerns me again with Bryce is that it's the weight, it's the stature. He's 180. I know he weighed in at 205 at the pro day, but that's all water weight.
If Bryce Young was 6'2", 215, he's number one overall, no question, right?
No question asked. But he put on some MMA boxing water weight thingy where you weigh in. That's what he did at the combine, and I don't believe it. I think he urinated all that water out, and he's probably a legit 190 probably So that's just my, I just, that concerns me because one hit, I mean, it's over. So I it gives me Tua vibes. It makes me nervous. But from a talent perspective, there's no question that I think Bryce Young is the most talented quarterback in this draft. So if it's talent alone, it's got to be Bryce. He's so good. And I think we're going to see that today. I am live streaming the Pro Day today on the channel. So if you want to get my live reaction, you can check it out at 1:30. I'll be going live.
Dig that. Go search the Panther Nation podcast on YouTube to make sure you stay tuned with that. And I got to tell you, I don't think there's a Pro Day I'm more interested in than Bryce Young for that exact reason. Now, let's talk about one quick thing. And again, we are at peak off-season mode right now. And that is the conversation that happened between McCown and Stroud after it was over. You saw C.J. Stroud gave some daps to Frank Wright, gave a hug to David Tepper, and then McCown walked over and said, we need to shoot. We need to find a court and shoot a game of horse. C.J. said, there's one right there. Let's go get it right now, which, by the way, baller move. I like that. That's a power move from C.J. Stroud. And then McCown said, we'll do it. When you live in Charlotte, we'll go find a court. Now, I think we're going a little TMZ. I think we're going a little People Magazine here when we do this. But I think it's also fair to ask the question, was that a bit of a slip up from the new QB coach?
Hey, man, listen, I don't know. That's the thing. Like, you have to read the energy and all of these, the tea leaves that are being put together. It matters, right? When you talk to a guy, I mean, literally, if you watch the Pro Day, I was watching the Pro Day. David Tepper was front and center, like right behind him as he was throwing. David Tepper, Frank Wright, and Scott Fitterer right there front and center. And then after, like you just said, McCown goes up, hey, when you live in Charlotte, these things matter. And it could be smokescreen. I don't know. I doubt it. I think they were really living in a moment. So the question begs, is that same energy going to be kept with Bryce Young today? Because if it's not, C.J. Stroud's going to be the guy. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Tipping your hand, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you hold the number one overall pick. It is what it is. And nobody's, according to Scott Fitterer, nobody's asking to trade up. There's nobody calling for the pick. So, hey, there's nothing wrong with saying that's your guy. And if that's the case, then I'm all for it because I'm tired of talking about it. I just want to be quarterback and be done with it. So, I'm all for it. Hey, I'll help you look for some. If you need somebody to scout for you, I'll go look for the places not too far from uptown. So, just, you know, I'll help you out. Let's find this spot that you're talking about. Hopefully it's a basketball court on site and we'll get it done.
Yeah, I think if the Panthers were sitting with the number two or number three pick, it's a little bit bigger of a deal because you're kind of handcuffing yourself to be taken hostage there by the teams ahead of you who can threaten a little bit or maybe go, all right, we had a good grade on this guy, but the Panthers clearly want him, so we're going to go ahead and take that pick. Your number one overall, it doesn't matter, but I also don't think that it hurts all that much to kind of keep it under wraps. I guess ultimately, I kind of fall into a bit of an altruistic state here, which, you know, I know in radio we're kind of supposed to like, this is my opinion and I'm right, fight me. But I'm not doing that here. At the end of the day, if the Panthers come out after Bryce's pro day today and say CJ's the guy, so be it. And if they say you'll find out who the guy is on April 27th at 8 p.m. when Goodell takes to the podium, so be it. The ball is entirely in their court, which CJ Stroud will find when he moves to Charlotte.
Yes. Give me – and it honestly doesn't matter. Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, give me one of those guys and let's move on. I think we've done a great job surrounding this guy with talent, and we're going to be able to drop him in, and they're going to be successful day one. So – it doesn't matter. I'm just tired of going back and forth about it. Give me one of those guys, and let's do it.
All right, one more before we let you go. We have not gotten a chance to get too deep into it. Last time we spoke a week ago and a day, Adam Thielen was visiting Charlotte, North Carolina. You said, don't let that man leave Charlotte without a contract, and Fitterer did that. But we also know that he is 32 years old. He's not necessarily the same player that DJ Moore is. We know DJ is a Chicago Bear at this point. Is Adam Thielen, in your opinion, the right guy to replace DJ Moore? And if you have a Jaxon Smith-Njigba or somebody who drops to 39 when the Cats go to pick number two, is wide receiver to bolster your number one overall quarterback the right move?
Yes, I don't think Adam Thielen is. He's 32 years old. He's probably a slot guy at this point. Not, you know, I'm not knocking him. He's a really, really good wide receiver. Can get open with route running ability. So I think he's the type of guy you need. Adam Thielen is to support your young quarterback. However, I do think we need to add to that wide receiver room. I've heard we're talking to DJ Chark, so that's something to keep an eye on. But I agree with you. You got to go get a Jaxon Smith-Njigba, a Zay Flowers, Josh Downs, someone in that draft to help. You have to give this guy the most weapons that you can to ensure he's going to be successful from day one. You can't get complacent just because we got, you know, Adam Thielen, that he's not the long-term answer. Get him a guy that he's comfortable with. And Njigba, I prefer Njigba. If he somehow falls to 39, I'm sprinting to put the pick in for Njigba.
If he falls to 31, 32, 33, you willing to put a little capital to jump up 8 or 9 spots?
Yes, absolutely I would. And I think that giving him somebody that he's comfortable with is that important to his development, especially if it's CJ Stroud. I would absolutely do that. 1,000% I would move up to go get that pick.
Rashad Beard is the host of the Panther Nation podcast. Make sure you go to YouTube, like and subscribe to the pod. He's going to be live today at 1:30 for the Bryce Young Pro Day. And I think at this point, we're just waiting to find out, is it Young? Is it Stroud? The Cats bring to Charlotte. Rashad, appreciate you, big dog. We'll talk to you a week from now with a little more clarity, maybe.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
There you go. Go follow them on Twitter at Panther Nation PC and subscribe to the pod on YouTube by searching for the Panther Nation podcast. We are back for hour number two after this on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.